Welcome to You Should See the Other Guy, the podcast in which we watch a romantic movie featuring a love triangle and tell you why the person who chose a point of the love triangle to couple up with did so, in our opinions, wrongly. I'm Jennifer.
I'm Samantha.
I'm Sadie. What holds me back from fully getting into the Lord of Darkness is glitter and vibes.
And
please actually clip this out of context. Thank you, Samantha.
I brought it back.
Samantha has access to our soundboard again.
I promise to exercise more restraint.
My name precedes me. I am indeed Sadie. And I have been holding Samantha and Jen hostage so that we could actually do a rom-com for – we could actually do multiple rom-coms for the month of February. We didn't really get to last week, but we are starting in earnest now with Big Eden, which is one of my all-time favorite rom-coms. Shall I just hop in with my summary? I'm going to do it kind of slapdash quickly.
You shall.
Okay.
Go forth.
Big Eden is a queer, gay rom-com from the year 2000, and it was it's a small movie, as are like most queer rom-coms, but it follows a very well-worn premise of person from a hometown, small town, leaves, goes to New York City, makes it big as an artist, and then something brings them back to said hometown, and they fall in love with someone that they left behind. So that's kind of the premise of this. So we start out with Henry Hart. He is a successful, openly gay artist living in New York City, and he's from a town called Big Eden, Montana, and he hasn't been back in quite a long time, but he receives word that his grandpa, Sam, who helped raise him, his parents have since passed away, Sam has suffered a heart attack, and so he is at the hospital. And so Henry leaves when he has this big art exhibition coming up, and he goes back to Montana. And he is feeling kind of worried about coming back, because he just kind of felt like the... So what I love about this rom-com, as an aside, and I'll talk about it a little bit later, is there is quote-unquote unfamiliarity with sexuality, as in like there's not queer people running up and down the streets all the time in this movie, but queerness is never seen as bad, which is fantastic. And so it's not that he's nervous about coming back for that reason, but more so just that it kind of outgrew him, or he outgrew this town, so he thinks, and that he couldn't have a place there. And part of that is because he had a fling / clearly requited crush, whatever, friends with benefits situation with this guy named Dean, who has also since moved back to Big Eden after getting divorced. And so anyway, this is all to say, Henry comes back and a kind of love triangle ensues, right, while Henry is at home taking care of his grandpa Sam. And it is between Henry, Dean, who is now moved back, and then enter Pike, the very cute, shy Native American shop owner who went to high school with Henry and Dean and has kind of, it's insinuated, had a lifelong crush on Henry, but Henry didn't really notice him. He was kind of way too wrapped up in Dean. And so the premise of it is, while Henry is very preoccupied with Dean during this, you know, it kind of falling back into old habits, Pike takes over making the meals for both Henry and Sam, because Sam can't cook because of illness and Henry can't cook because he's just a bad cook. But Pike doesn't want him to know that he's the one making the dishes. And so he kind of just lets Henry believe that it is the widow Thayer, this one woman in town, who is the one cooking the meals. And so there's more to it. Like, there's, you know, like really cute. The whole town is kind of rooting for them. including like a lot of Pike's friends who hang out at the general store, who are kind of like pushing Pike to kind of come out of his shell. And so the main crux of this romance is not that Henry and Pike are queer, but it is that Pike has always been extremely shy and has never ever gone after what he wants or like even owned his own feelings. Whereas Henry has been so stuck in the past with what he went through with Dean. And so it is implied that Dean is not really comfortable with his sexuality, whether he is bi or whatever. And so Henry's been kind of stuck in that feeling with Dean. And so he's never been able to let Dean go long enough to realize, hey, there's probably a lot of other people out there who are a better fit for me. And so, spoiler alert, he has some wonderful one-on-one conversations with Pike, kind of goes a little bit more into Pike's direction. His grandpa Sam sadly passes away. And so there's a little bit of like a struggle within Pike about that. But then ultimately, they get together with the help of the town, and it is implied that Henry is going to probably stay in Big Eden. And then they have a lovely dance scene at the end where they kiss with the whole town. And then that is the end of Big Eden. I am desperate to know your thoughts of this movie.
Well, I first learned of it through Sadie's Them.us article, 7 Gay Rom-Coms to Watch on Valentine's Day. And what a great article that was. And what a great description of Big Eden, because it made me want to watch the movie. It was great. I was getting Family Stone vibes. It was serving Family Stone, as they say. And lo and behold, I think it's the same director. But it hit that exact sweet spot of kind of like, I know this was released in 2000, but it felt like I would have been right at home in like 96, save for looking up poached trout recipes on America Online. And, you know, like, was it a little mawkish at times? Sure. But like, I thought it was well done. Mostly well acted, apart from the lead, I'm gonna say. And I liked it a lot.
Jen?
I also learned about this movie from Sadie's recent article on them.us and recommend that you go read the whole thing. And I guess I can't, surprise isn't the word that I've never heard of this before, but it does surprise me now that this isn't more known. I was surprised to realize that it came out in 2000 and that I'd never heard of it before. Like Samantha said, I do think that it was great in many ways. It also that it was, Justin, get out of here, baby. Please go away. I love you. Sorry, could you please cut that part out, Samantha? I got completely distracted from what I was going to say.
Sneak peek of the article of the upcoming episode, Justin?
Well, I do record in his office space, and weirdly, he has a Milwaukee toolbox full of what looks like different types of like car cleaning products and oils and stuff, and he just came in here to rattle around in it. Anyway, I just finished watching the movie probably about 15 minutes before we started recording, so I'm still swept up in the emotion of it all, and it had so many nice, I guess I like the way, Family Stone wouldn't have been the first one to come to my mind, but now that Samantha said something about it, I, you know, see the connection there. But just the way it's filmed on site and so set in the homes, it feels like an authentic look at the community it's portraying. And yeah. I find that incredibly refreshing. While watching, my brain kept trying to make connections with, especially with some of the Christmas movies we've watched fairly recently, with Happiest Season and Jingle All the Way and sort of the queer returning to home, and that it's not just the fantasy of this love that gets fulfilled, but Single All the Way, excuse me. Wait, Jingle All the Way actually is another movie, isn't it? Not just like an awful one that I did not mean to.
Arnold Schwarzenegger and Sinbad.
Arnold Schwarzenegger, classic. Arnold Schwarzenegger, Sinbad, and this movie, Big Eden. Yes, it's all the same, part and parcel in common. But no, I guess I'm having a little bit of a confusing welter of feelings, though, about how far society has fallen, that this came out in 2000 and that we're still at single all the way right now. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. It feels like we've kind of gone back in time a little bit. It's like, I don't know, discovering the ruins of an ancient civilization that like was more advanced than yours or something, like how the people in the Dark Ages must have felt looking at the Colosseum or something, right? Like you look at some of these like gay movies or like Merchant Ivory films and you're like, wait, we used to have this and now we're like at the level of like, what if we put Billy Eichner in a rom-com? Like,
yeah,
which I'm excited to see, but it's like, oh God. God, has it really taken 20 years?
And it's not to say that this movie is perfect by any means. Like there, I mean, of course, there's like some changes that I would maybe make. But if you imagine like the trajectory of like if a movie is this level of good in the year 2000, what will rom-coms look like in 2022 for queer people? And the results will shock you, but not in a good way. And I think that that's kind of true for all, dare I say, all movies, or at least definitely all rom-coms. Like if you look at what rom-coms used to look like in like 1999 and what they look like now, they're not where they should be, you know? They've gotten worse. And I think that that's because we have entered an era of cinema where it is very, very, very hard for movies to get greenlit or movies to be made or for people wanting to make movies if they're not backed by a gigantic studio like Disney or Warner Brothers. And two things about Disney and Warner Brothers is they don't like gay people and they don't like to take risks. And so you aren't going to get cute, sweet movies about queer people living their lives where their sexuality is not a concern because that's kind of a risk. And, you know, we get queer movies sometimes as like, you know, Netflix originals, which is fine. But for that to be the only representation when
as a treat.
As a little treat. When we had movies like this that were like, it is a rom-com, but it also deals with like, I don't know, there's just like heavy scenes in it. And it's really cute. In addition to The Family Stone, it kind of reminds me of While You Were Sleeping, in that the character of Pike kind of reminds me of the character of Sandra Bullock in some ways. And I can't quite explain it, but just that feeling of like earnestness and wanting to belong, but not really being able to stand up for yourself and say what you want is so relatable and so good. And I loved it.
Okay, I'm going to jump in to say that I actually find that the opposite of relatable. And bless Pike's heart, he was so fucking handsome and obviously is an amazing cook. And through pretty much this whole movie until the last 30 seconds, I just wanted to go grab him by the collar and scream in his face to just go tell Henry what he feels right now. I am more
this
of a
is also very
Thayer
true.
Or a layabout gym in the general store myself. But yeah, I think that the movie did a really good job handling the heavy scenes and sort of showing a truthful sense of emotion around issues of childhood and community alienation because of your sexuality, while kind of eliding looking that too straight in the face so that it's not just a grueling and unpleasant experience to watch the movie, you know? It kind of like keeps it like light and bright and fun enough on the surface, but also gives you a glimpse at that level of emotion without, so there was a little little bit of a, that was a little bit of an odd thing for me, that it sort of showed that, like, when, for instance, Henry was having the conversation with his grandfather, who knows that he's going to die soon. And he never came out to his grandfather. And they tell, mm-hmm. he knows that he's gay and that he's, you know, that a couple of the men in town are in love with him and stuff. And anyway, Grandpa Sam says something like, did we teach you shame? Didn't you know, like, I feel so bad about that or something. And I was sitting there like, well, obviously, Grandpa Sam, like, you must have, because why is he not out to you? Why did he, you know, so it, like, if this were a whole mini series, you know, like on HBO stretched out over a season, I guess they could have really delved into all that dark stuff. But I think that for a slightly under 2 hour movie, and I do think that this movie, and you know that I hate it when a movie goes over an hour and 30 minutes, but I think that this one used its time quite effectively. And I think that it did a good job of honoring that pain and sort of alluding to why Henry would find himself at this situation in this point in his life, but without just fucking bumming us all out with a big misery festival about it on screen, you know, and kind of providing that wish fulfillment feeling that, you know, that's the climax of the movie, is the, well, not the climax, the whatever, the denouement, the way they leave us before the credits, when Pike and Henry are making out in front of the whole town and they're accepted and embraced by everyone. And that's as much a part of the happy ending as just their love itself is.
Yeah, I found the protagonist kind of like hard to access, because Henry, mm-hmm. I don't know, like I feel like you can trace a portrait and negative of him, maybe. But like, he just kind of seems mildly annoyed by everything for 2 hours. And then it's,
well,
like,
that's
he's
what
in love.
Reminded me of Single All the Way. I found the protagonists of Single All the Way and this movie sort of similar in personality or lack of revealed personality and affect.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I can see that.
But I'm nitpicking because it is, this is a good fucking movie. Like, I recommend it. Not trying to just open with the haterade, Sadie.
No. I mean, I think that, like, we're naturally just kind of predisposed to, like, be like, but actually, whereas if we actually hated it, we would just be like, the person was kind of hot, I guess. Like, we would be trying to find things that we kind of liked about it. but what I love about this movie is that it's so comforting. Like, I go back to it and it's real and investing enough where I actually pay attention every time I watch it. Like, it's not all sunshine and rainbows. Like, what Pike is going through is a very real thing that people go through. Like, when you have been kind of in love with this person for a really long time, and you want to tell them how you feel, but you're stressed out. And at this point, you're quote unquote too old, and it's this whole thing. And then on Henry's side, even though I definitely agree that he could have been a bit more fleshed out, I think that I also completely understand where he's coming from. Like, your first queer experience with someone that you never really got over, that would definitely probably impact you, especially, you know, in the 90s and like 2000. And then to like see them again with all of that, you know, all of those feelings coming back up to the surface. And yeah, I mean, it's like you see two people who are kind of a unlikely match in that, you know, Henry never really saw Pike and he was too focused on Dean. And then they turned out to be perfect for each other. And I love the lightheartedness of it. And also the scenery is like fucking outstanding. Like, the fact that it is filmed on location in like Glacier National Park and like another small northern Montana town is like, it's just perfect. Like, it really feels like you're there and it feels like you are in this town and all of these people are actually believable. And I'm like, by the end of it, I'm like, I would like to move there, please. Like, how do I get to Big Eden, Montana? I actually looked at Montana towns after watching this most recently.
You would really enjoy Missoula, I think, Sadie. You would fit right in. I lived in Missoula for a summer during college and went to Glacier once or twice. And it's maybe the most beautiful like place in the country, I think, Glacier. It feels like an enchanted fairy tale in my memory, like being inside Glacier. Yeah, there's just nothing like it. Go get you some of that Big Sky, Sadie.
Damn. To continue, this podcast, that is Samantha's tradition of bashing on New York. That was quite the change of scenery from the beginning where it shows Henry riding home on his bike, in NYC. And then it shows these glorious mountain lake scenery of Montana lovingly everywhere, like blaring this like soundtrack that makes you talk a little twangier by the end. And just like, damn, why don't we all move to Montana now?
I did like the line of like, he's like, I have to go back to New York. Like, I have an apartment there. There are restaurants there. And the, the relative just being like, you want to go to a restaurant? Like, because often this is what kind of people who think New York is the only place you could live in the country will say when they're like, oh my God, like the restaurants, the culture. It's like, you can go see shows in other places.
A lot of the appeal, though, if you're in the scenario that, of course, this movie completely like doesn't address that. And like, even though Henry is surprised to find out that like everybody in this town is obsessed with him and wants him to be happy and live there, that a lot of the appeal of going to like a larger city, you know, you say stuff about the restaurants and the culture, but it's just escaping from the overbearingness, though, of this widow Thayer's community who is going to try to dictate, you know, events and activities in your life by virtue of proximity. And I think,
and also
that,
the dating pool.
Henry turned out to be very lucky that it was such a, yes, warm and welcoming community with an absolutely gorgeous, shy store owner who wants nothing more than to cook him fine dinners, happens to live as well.
And also, can we talk about how cute Pike's dog is? Like, I won't say that I'm neutral on Henry, but I definitely like Pike more. Like, I just want Pike to be happy. And so that's my primary drive of this movie is like, I want Pike to be happy and Pike wants Henry. Therefore, I want Pike and Henry to end up together. but I actually would like to know your opinions on Dean. Because I feel like he is a nut that I cannot quite crack.
I think that Dean is one of the major sources of strength in this movie as well, actually, is a character. Because I found him really appealing. When they set it up at the beginning, when Henry first gets back to town and like Grace tells him like, you know, and he's, you didn't tell me Dean was going to be here. And all, you know, I was prepared to dislike Dean. And obviously we had already met Pike a little bit by then. And he's just so fucking good looking that you are rooting for him already by that time a little bit. But Dean was so charming and he fits so well into that environment. That was a really sweet scene in a way. Henry was a little bit uncomfortable flaunting the two of them that much. But when they Dean grabs him and they dance together at the 4th of July party. And so Dean, I think he's kind of... I kind of wish that they hadn't gone ahead and paired him off with another. Was she a widow as well or divorced? Or she was wearing a wedding band when she was dancing with Dean at the end. But anyway, you can tell that the creators of the movie like Dean too, because they have him get swept up. So he cries when he realizes that it really is over for him and Henry, that there's not going to be any chance. But they don't give him much time to sit with that. And I think that that's in service to the lightness of the movie. Like, this movie is interested in, you know, you leaving the theater or your couch or whatever with a smile on your face at the end.
Yeah. But,
I was heartbroken. So for whatever, like some of the real, and I mean, I guess that's true of life as well, but the catalyst for emotion and intimacy in this movie, of course, are when something bad happens to Grandpa Sam and he's got to go back to the hospital or, you know, and then when he eventually passes. But when Dean is trying to comfort Henry after Sam has to go back to the hospital, they have a moment. Dean's trying to cook for him. He's not as good at it as Pike is, of course, because he's not in game. But Henry comes up to him for comfort and they start to lean on one another. And that was a really hot kiss between the two of them there for just a second before Dean breaks it off and he says, I can't, like, I can't. And it was never quite clear to me. They have Henry's assistant character say once something about Dean being straight, like that's the reason that there's no hope for Dean and Henry. But Dean didn't read all that fucking straight to me. I think he's still working some stuff out, but I think that Henry just, they couldn't overcome the weight of that history and the sense of rejection that Henry had from Dean by that point was just insurmountable.
Yeah. Like I would have liked, one of the things that I would have liked, I would have changed about this movie. Obviously, it's 2000, so you can't really, you know, take it with a grain of salt. But if I were to see this movie in 2022, I would like to see more explanation or a deep dive into like bisexuality or pansexuality, whatever, you know, Dean feels, and kind of like what the writers were implying by Dean's whole storyline. Because at the end, he ends up with a woman, it's implied, which is perfectly fine. But I'd like to know, is that him continuing to avoid that side of himself? Does he need to date someone who's not a woman in order to like fully explore that side of himself? And if this is just him kind of reverting back to what is safe and comfortable? Or is this genuinely like he has met a person that he can move on with the same way that Henry has met Pike? Because I would like it to be that option, but I don't know what the writers were trying to say. And so it's kind of like sad at the end, it somewhat feels, of like, you know, if Dean is more on the liking men side of things, then like that's kind of a not super satisfying ending for either him or the woman that he's now with. But
the ending with, them pairing him with the mayor lady woman, that it kind of cheapened the scenario between him and Henry for me. Because that sort of tied it up in a bow, like, I don't know, he's hurting after his divorce. He needs somebody to help him co-parent with his kids. And that he wants somebody who's like embedded in this community where he wants to be to sort of help him, to partner up with him and help him pick up the pieces and keep this moving forward. And maybe that is what the writers were trying to imply, that he, maybe Dean was trying to, because he loves Henry and is so close to him, but he just couldn't give him what he needed on that level, and tried and failed. I don't know, but I thought that Dean was kind of a refreshingly interesting and complex part of the movie. I kept waiting for when Dean comes back, because he is coming on to Henry so fucking hard. It is not like
literally
straight bros making up because they didn't talk for a while. Like there is such, so I thought there was going to be more explanation of their history. Like, you know, like I definitely assumed that they had been something to each other. So I was surprised to like, I was trying to refresh just myself on the names and stuff. I pull up the Wikipedia summary and, you know, the materials say that like Dean is just Henry's crush. And I'm like, some of that was it. I don't know. I don't know if they had made out yet. I feel like they had. Why was Henry waiting all this time if there wasn't some
further connection there
than just high school besties? Yeah.
It was definitely like
they had like a whole kind of like Dean. He wanted like sort of like sex, the Brokeback Mountain maybe connection, right? Like they're straight in town, but they're like, yeah, the vibe was very, they have had sex.
I have a modest proposal. Send Dean back to New York to take his place as an artist and no one will know the difference because the art is so bad.
The sequel?
Oh, shit. That was kind of, I wish that they had gotten a better piece of art to be what Henry gifted Pike.
I know.
Because that was a little bit anticlimactic. But
I mean, it's cute, but I agree.
Was it a print? Did they even bother to make a fake oil painting?
It sort of looked like it was just like a one layer. So it wasn't much of an oil painting. Like it was a canvas. It sort of looked like something that like you would do in your high school art class, you know?
Yeah.
Which maybe is kind of in keeping with the theme of Henry coming back home.
Like, the one thing that I really wish that we had gotten from this movie is a makeout scene that was as hot with Henry and Dean but with Henry and Pike. Like, we get the very romantic final kiss scene between Henry and Pike, which is cute and adorable. And I also feel like not a lot of queer movies at that time, when they did have happy endings, had that kind of like wrap it up in a nice little rainbow bow. But we don't get like the passion kiss. Like, we got it with Henry and Dean, and I was like, okay, now turn around and hardcore make out with Pike in the general store. Like, do it.
Yeah. We need to see like Pike and Henry getting to push each other up against walls, you know? You're right. Dean got to hog all the moments of like high passion. Even when Dean chickened out and just hugged Henry that one time, there still was more oomph to that, you know. And I get like Pike is clearly a private person, so he was not gonna give us that on camera in the movie, even apparently. But yeah, I'm with you, Sadie. I wished for it.
They read like they're taunting him in the end when he comes back. Especially Henry. He's like, you thought I was at the airport?
Yeah, the vibes on at that point were kind of weird.
I was like, yeah.
Because they never really have like a strong love confession, which I think is another small thing that is missing, is there's never a point where Henry is like, I love you and I want to fuck you. And Pike is like, thank God, I also want that. Like, they never really have that. It's just kind of like, you know, a lot of the feelings in this movie are unspoken and a little bit on the more subtle side, which I think is fine. It's definitely a choice so it's not a wrong choice, but I wish that they had made one or two different choices with with having kind of like a strong love confession scene.
That's Pike's real happy ending, is that he never had to verbalize his feelings even once.
Well, I mean, Henry's, that painting too. Says 1,000 words, you know?
Henry,
none of them
was
good words, but it says 1,000 of them.
Henry was kind of a passive-aggressive little motherfucker. Because when Dean is really the only one, well, Dean and Grandpa Sam are the only one who want to, like, speak about their thoughts with their full voice at some point in this movie. And when Dean tries, I mean, granted, his venue is absolutely horrible. Like, when they're off in a side room at the Thanksgiving dinner with a bunch of people present. But Henry runs from Dean when Dean tries to have real conversations with him. And Pike, I guess Pike also runs, but Pike makes you great dinners and drops them off before running away.
I'm trying to think of what else I want to say about this movie.
I feel bad. I feel bad for the Widow Thayer, because her options are running out. She was gunning so hard for Grandpa Sam, and now he's dead too.
She should have a right to
People need to appreciate Widow Thayer more.
A flame. I loved her. I love how,
yes.
Again, I think that she's one of my favorite, like, kind of twisting the homophobia trope on its head, where she initially sets him up with like some women, and then it kind of, and she's immediately like, you know what? Damn, I should have known that this man was gay. So I am instead going to set him up with every gay person that I know in the tri-state area. And like, that was, it's always so refreshing because you think that she's going to be the uptight bitch of the group. Like, that there's going to be one person who's homophobic, but that's not the case. No one is. Like, that's not the point of the movie. The point is them getting over their own internal struggles.
Not at all. Sadie, when you were making the point earlier about that being a limitation of being queer in a small town, is the dating pool being small? I was thinking, unless you know the Widow Thayer, apparently, because she could fill a fucking hunting lodge full of eligible, you know, mask men ready to assemble on a moment's notice at her word and do their own little like version of The Bachelor for you, I guess. Like, damn, everybody deserves a Widow Thayer in their lives. Maybe not her food, but her presence. Also along those same lines as Widow Thayer, I loved, and usually we tell you guys about our movie-themed names we choose that we see for each other here in the Zencaster chat. Sadie chose Widow Thayer for herself before I even got here. and we can't see what you know, we've chosen for ourselves before we enter the room. And I chose Jim, the unemployed man who likes to hang around the general store and bother Pike about his love life. And I found the old guys who just hang around the general store all day for their vibe to also be very charming. It did kind of pull like a bait and switch on us that you think that, you know, they're going to be homophobic. And then they're all so adorable the way they're, you know, sitting around and they're like irritating the shit out of Pike. But when they send Dean around back when he arrives and they know that Henry and Pike are back in the office looking at what we don't realize at the time is a terrible painting. And in our imaginations, then we can just, you know, think that it's amazing. When they're all like peering out the window to try to see what happens. Like, yeah. But that's the group of people I would want to hang out with in that town. Those old gossipy, busybody dudes at the general store. That's where it's at.
I can picture Justin among that crew too.
Yeah. He definitely, he has Widow Thayer-esque levels of would have been trying to matchmake and interfere, though, having to wait that long. Wasn't Henry was supposed to be in town for like 6 months while all this was going on?
Roughly, yeah.
Which is kind of a more realistic time, yeah, for all these events to have taken place along and for feelings like to this level to have developed. But damn, these people, for as nosy as they all are, were real absolute heroes of restraint to not just flat out say something to these dudes and like just tell them to get it together and get together.
I would not have been able to restrain
myself. The little kids were shipping it so hard. No, absolutely not.
So what do you think the future will look like for Pike and Henry? Do you think that at some point Henry will convince Pike to move to New York? Do you think that they'll stay in Montana? Do you think that Henry will enjoy it? What do you think is going to happen?
I thought it was pretty heavily implied that Henry would stay in Montana.
He'll make art for motel rooms in Montana. That's what he seems destined for.
He's having great success with this, with his art stuff, even after running out on his opening at the beginning. I also appreciated that scene at the very beginning with his annoying pregnant assistant, or she's pregnant at that time. She has the baby later. But when she's trying to talk him into staying, because he's got like a big opening, he needs to meet collectors and, you know, try to sell his shit. And I did feel that like, that was kind of a giveaway that this was made or it was at least written in the 90s and then made in 2000, that this movie features someone unhesitatingly abandoning a huge career obligation to immediately fly to the aid of their grandfather who had a stroke. Because I feel like a 2022 version of this movie, it would have been definitely the more moral. It would have been framed as the more moral position to stay and take care of your work obligations first and then go be with your ailing grandfather. So that kind of that was an interesting little mental wrinkle to watch that happen. But anyway, when he is leaving to go back to Montana and she's telling him, he's all trying to act like, oh, it's all out of my control. And she's like, you're making a choice. You're making the choice right now. And Henry is kind of one of those irritating people who I think doesn't want to have to confront his own choices or, you know, that he is making them at all. So she was kind of a nice voice in that moment. So I think that he chose Montana and presumably he will be able to keep making his paintings or he has a viable career assistant teaching kindergarten with Grace or something there. But the scenery is really beautiful and I guess they can move into Grandpa Sam's old house together.
The kindergartners can make his paintings.
Samantha, you
could open up like a farm of sorts.
When he's cutting out, I thought the kids were going to be homophobic for a minute when that one little girl fussed at him about not cutting out a star for the flag and instead he cut out a snowflake. I was like, oh my God. But then that moment like, passed and the little homophobic
you queer
girl.
Ass. Man. She's like, get your head in the game like, for
jingoist,
2 seconds.
Like, snowflakes don't go on the flag. Like, damn, 7-year-old.
Turns out she's just a perfectionist.
He's
lesbian
doing a cool paper trick
in the making.
For you. Yeah, exactly.
So I guess we can briefly, I mean, we kind of touched on and off about this, but like, what are we thinking about different pairings potentially? Because I think that there's too much trauma between Henry and Dean. And I love Pike so much.
Yeah.
I could, in theory, I don't know. There's probably someone out there that's better for Pike potentially. But like, I think that they really do kind of suit each other quite well. And I think that Pike is happiest when he's with Henry, which is nice. But I definitely could scrounge up some alternatives for Dean, I'm sure, if I thought hard enough. Definitely someone from New York, I feel like.
I was
like.
Trying to piece. Yeah, were they? Okay, so did the assistant, did she have the baby by herself? Did she have a partner? Because for a moment, I was like, are they implying that there's a spark between her and Dean?
She would never betray her friend in such a way.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, good point. Very good point. Yeah, that's
but
definitely
like,
off the table.
I feel like
I was trying
Henry
to like weigh the option in my mind of
with someone like one of his other gay friends in New York, and I feel like they would hit it off instantly, and Dean would be free.
Yeah, I feel like Dean's major obstacle right now is that he does have small children, and he's going to be tied to one location until so he has to find somebody who is interested in being in Big Eden. At this point, I was trying to like weigh the option of if Henry had actually followed his plan and had just come into town and then left after Sam was better instead of staying for 6 months, if anything could have potentially popped off between Pike and Dean. But I just can't see it between them as much. I feel like Dean assimilates so easily into kind of the, you know, the little behavioral performative stuff of the community in a way that Pike doesn't. And I don't really know after, because again, this was like, this takes place in a world that is magically free from homophobia, even though queer men still have lingering issues that seem like they would be caused by homophobia plausibly. But I was thinking in the back of my mind that, you know, even though Pike doesn't cop to remembering Henry from school, and he obviously does, is that maybe some of his huge crush on Henry is because Henry was the first person he saw be more, even though Henry's not out of the closet to his own grandpa, but Henry is obviously gay. Like everybody else in the community knows it. And yeah. Except the Widow Thayer there for a little while too. But maybe that was kind of the person he was to Pike, saw him living like that and wished that he could be the same.
I have an outre suggestion. Get your bingo card ready for the out there wild card entry. So what's the name of the old guy who hangs out at the general store who seems to have a very keen interest in setting up all of these like
game
with each other? I feel like Jim's interest is more than academic. And that he could be a great, you know, zaddy for a great little Montana zaddy for young Henry Hart there.
Yeah.
Oh.
Do you think
unless he's
Henry?
Related to him. Is he related
or do
to
you
him?
Think, see, I think that Jim seems more like a match for Dean because they both... You know, and I don't know, maybe there's not enough oppositeness to attract there, but they strike me as being very interested in the same things. Whereas Pike and Henry want to go off and talk about bad art sometimes. I think that Dean and Jim would be happy eating barbecue and watching the fireworks and two-stepping and going fishing together.
They should have made Henry the designer of the jazz design on paper cups. That would have been more believable to me, given the one example of his talents. Do we get to see any of his paintings at the start?
Do we see his little his card, his show card, where the assistant is bragging about how cute he looks on it, but you notice she doesn't say anything about the painting that's on the card.
Maybe that's the right move. Pike and Henry can go have their kind of like middle brow taste together, and Dean and Jim can, you know, become create the first leather bar in Big Eden. And
hell yeah.
Because once Dean finally pops the cork, like he's going to come out to his kids when they go off to college or something. He's waiting for his kids to go to college.
Oh, Dean is going to be an icon when his kids go to college and he feels somehow mentally unfettered to truly pop his polo collar and let his freak flag fly. Like that's
going to be the same.
We need a sequel. Yes. We Big need Eden a sequel. 2
should just be yes, Dean about Dean. Out.
Yes, Dean coming out. Henry and Pike will have been a couple by then for like 10 years, so they can be sort of like his wise elder guides to the queer scene in Big Eden. Dean's going to cause a splash.
Hey, speaking of small towns and big splashes, there's no splashing involved in this question, but Sadie, you were going to tell us about a true love festival in your town, which
we
again,
hear that you're in
lends
love
credence to my
with
theory.
A baker.
Well, I didn't
Do
go
you
with
live in a
rom-com?
Baker once and for all. Settle it.
No, I wish
you
I
fell
did.
In love with a baker. Is this?
I fell in love with a baker. Well, so there's one bakery in town. So Hannah and I went to the True Love Festival, which is it's thrown by the same film festival that does True False, which is like the biggest documentary festival in like. It's a big thing. And so the True Love Festival is everything is like Valentine's Day decorated downtown. And you buy from like local stores. And for every like $20 that you spend, you get a free ticket to the local art house cinema that you can go to with like your loved one or your, you know, your date, whatever, for a Valentine's Day. And so I racked up like 4 tickets. Because I had money to blow. But while we were at the bakery, there was this person that was there making the bread and like doing everything. And they were so hot. And I came so close to giving them my number. I should have. I might go back and give them my number because they were so attractive. You can't always 100% tell now that we live in a masked world, but I'm pretty sure that they were very attractive. And I was like, I'll have sweet potato soup, please. I was too stunned to speak, nearly. Sadie. And I had an entire heart motif going on. I was dressed head to toe in red and pink. I had a red manicure with pink hearts. It was a whole look. I'm sure that I was a little overwhelming. But yeah, True Love Festival, baby.
In a good way, I'm certain.
I feel,
true
I love Valentine's
that just sounds
Day.
Like your natural habitat.
I love Valentine's Day. And I feel like there's not enough Valentine's Day things. Like every year around Valentine's Day, I will hit all the major stores. I'm trying to see if they have any decorations. They never do. Like not any cute ones. And I hate it because I am
Love
obsessed
is dead.
With Valentine's Day.
Valentine's Day is dead.
Oh.
You're just keeping it alive over there single-handedly. You and your little magical small town with true love festivals. Oh.
Sadie, I love Valentine's Day too. And I think because it like long before Parks and Rec and the coining of the term Galentine's Day, Valentine's Day was always much more of a cute holiday about wearing lots of hearts and clashing shades of red and pink and exchanging candy and cute little gifts with your friends than it was about, I don't know, needing to wear like black lace and get a rose on a bachelor type dinner date,
yeah.
You know? And I think that maybe rom-coms are coming back, you know, for like, we've got J-Lo is going to bring him fucking back, the big budget rom-com with Marry Me coming up. And I saw someone, well, actually, you know what? I'll go ahead and out their identity. I saw our past guest of this podcast, Lindsay B., state recently that Valentine's Day is like love Halloween in February. And
yes.
I do. I think that Valentine's Day
Lindsay.
Is like a Halloween level of holiday. Because it's like, and it's not like a family-centered holiday necessarily. It's like Halloween. It's one about having fun and about love and passion and candy and everything being red and pink. And I'm for it.
I think you could describe all holidays in this way now. They should all just be have Halloween-based descriptions. Like Easter is Halloween resurrections.
That one could get really fun, actually. Decorating
Christmas
the
is,
tomb with cute little...
Yeah, Christmas is Christian Halloween. I mean, kind of.
Easter also.
Yeah, there are a lot of Christian Halloweens. Except for Halloween.
4th of July. No, the 4th of July is heterosexual pride.
Oh, that's true. Also, speaking of 4th of July, did either of you see that Jennifer Coolidge, she gave this interview about how people quote her hot dog line from Legally Blonde, 4th of July, red, white, and blonde, or whatever it's called, at her. And she says she hasn't been able to, like, eat a hot dog without someone, like, quoting her line at her for 20 years.
That would be prison.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let Especially that woman enjoy her hot dogs.
You did it better than any of them would ever do it. You're sitting there eating a hot dog and someone makes me want a hot dog real bad at you, like 7 times worse than you did it on film.
Damn.
Poor Jennifer Coolidge. She belongs in Big Eden. Put her in the sequel.
That is the holiday that they showed in this one was heterosexual pride itself. July 4th is when Dean and Henry have their would-be love connection before it all falls apart. That's interesting and seems a little bit, I think, tied into the fantasy of the extremely straight community presented in this town, accepting Henry for who he is.
Let's see. Do we have anything else that we'd like to chit-chat about?
Let's see. We covered how cute the dog is. We need to look up the actress's name, the doggy actor. And we will discuss this further on our Patreon Discord server about animal actors. The soundtrack was banging.
A Discord server specifically for animal actors. And as an aside,
was this before the time when they would have been keeping track of the dogs? Was catmovies.com not around back then?
Goat actors.
Cinema Cats? What is the name of the website we return to every 5 episodes to look up the cat?
It is Cinema Cats.
Well, while they do that, I will also say that I am working on a Valentine's Day themed playlist for this month for our wonderful Patreons. And it's going to have a lot of K-pop in it because that is currently exclusively what I've been listening to. And I can't wait to share it.
I am excited. Also, all these choir members. Wait, Queenie is the dog's name.
Queenie?
You found her?
On IMDb.
Queenie the dog?
All it says on her IMDb biography is Queenie is an actress known for Big Eden.
Yes, she is.
Yes, she is.
Aren't you known for Big Eden? Yes, you are.
Queenie stands unite. She had to eat like a lot of pancakes probably for this film.
Oh, cottage cream cheese pancakes made by the widow Thayer. Do we think Queenie was in anything else? I'm going to look for more Queenies.
Please do.
Oh, promising. I'll report back on in a second.
She is technically, is she Queenie the fourth, or is she the fourth Queenie on this website? And that's why it...
I like how she's credited as Pike's dog, Francis, as though they're worried that you're going to think that she was playing a human named Francis. But there was another famous Queenie the dog in 1920s movies. There have been a bunch of Queenie the dogs that became actresses. Did they have the name first, or is this like a Cher situation?
I don't know. Maybe Queenie is just a ubiquitous dog name for dogs of her generation.
Sadie does not share our thrill at Googling animal actors.
She's been in it with us looking for the goats and falling in love before.
My thrill peaks about 5 minutes before your thrill peaks. But I do enjoy it. But that is often the case, I suppose.
What if Harriet was in a movie? What kind of rom-com would you
would
want Harriet
never
to be in,
expose
Sadie?
Her to show business.
And then
business.
We can rate Big Eden.
And I am being completely serious. I think it would poison her.
No, you guys, I fully buy this because Sadie on her Instagram only, she shares Harriet's doings in private friends only stories so that Harriet won't be, her inner life won't be exposed to too much of the public.
I have to keep her safe, which is more than Kim does for her kids. Not to be dramatic, not to bring the Kardashians into it. But I am saying that Harriet, as my North, I keep her protected. I keep her identity safe. I don't allow her to say anything potentially problematic on social media. And that is what a mother should do.
So now, Samantha, we know that Harriet's movie will be a coming of age tale in which she rebels against Sadie and escapes for the day and has a lot of wild shenanigans before coming home so they can cry and hug and say they loved each other. But Harriet's like, Mom, you've got to let me determine my own destiny a little more.
No, now Sadie's I want it to be like, Mulholland Drive. And Harriet shows up in Los Angeles and ends up in just like a psychological surrealist murder thriller.
So what about Nala and Spuds, Samantha? What movie are they going to star in?
Oh gosh. Well, no, I pictured them more as like Sandra Bullock's or Peter Gallagher's cat in While You Were Sleeping, you know? Like they would want not background roles, but kind of like minor starring roles for a particular moment of the film. I think, though, I would best be suited as a best friend character where my quirky personality trait was that I had hairless cats, you know?
You get to deliver like the pithy line of advice. Just that when Sadie calls you from the True Love Festival, wondering if she should chase after the baker who has ridden away on a tractor full of waffles, and you're going to say the perfect thing.
Yeah, I'd be like, I know you just see me as this crazy friend with these hairless cats, but I see things, Sadie, and I see the way you look at her, you know, like... Like this movie, Big Eden had a bunch of these kinds of moments where it's like, seems in life, comets only pass you by so many times. Sometimes you got to swing your lasso around that comet, see where it goes.
What are you saying, like, Samantha?
I never thought of the line from the wizened character who prompts the protagonist or secondary character to action. They did it with Grandpa and Henry, and then they gave Jim one for Pike. And I would want to deliver one of those lines in Sadie's rom-com.
I'll allow it.
She's will
on
give
the verge.
Big Eden 4 out of 5 cottage cream cheese pancakes. Alternately, I'm just going to cannibalize objects. 4 out of 5 recipes for poached trout on a CRT monitor. Very heartwarming fare.
I'm going to
give Big Eden.
Oh, go ahead.
4 out of 5 dramatic kitchen scenes in which someone tearfully admits that a particularly marked dish does not belong to her because the man who loves you has been cooking for you all along. Revelations.
And I will give it 5 beautiful, crisp Montana lakes out of 5 because I love this movie. I think it's a perfect comfort movie that still is not like saccharine sweet, is very homey. It's like, it's perfect. It's fantastic. I love it. It's like eggs, bacon, and perfectly cooked grits. It's like a wonderful, comfy meal that is not too sweet, but is very filling regardless. And it's queer, and I love it.
Amen.
Okay. Shall I read the Patreons? How do we want to do the outro? We kind of like plugged a lot of our stuff a little bit ago, so I can go ahead and read the Patreons.
Yeah, Samantha, you didn't say your typically Jen, like weird thing leading
what
us into
fireworks that should be set off the expansive canvas of Montana sky that is our podcast.
Well, Samantha, I'd say that if you want to strip down to your whitey tidies and jump into the probably very cold lake off the dock with us, proverbially, you can find us on Twitter at YSSTOG, or you can send us emails, which we do not check very often, but are always excited when we see that we have received one, at YSSTOGpodcast@gmail.com. Or you can help us stream all of these movies that we watch to discuss for your entertainment and edification each week. If you go over to our little patreon.com/YSSTOG and throw us a little money, which gains you access to our Discord server where we talk about very important topics like the animal actors in all of these movies that we watch.
Ahem. Ahem. Is it time?
I'm Sadie.
I'm
Sadie. What holds me back?
I took a drink of water.
To the Lord of Darkness.
How dare you do that?
That was your mistake, Jen.
Glitter and vibes.
I'm Sadie.
Glitter and vibes.
And I'm Sadie.
I should have known it was coming.
Please actually clip this out of context. Thank you, Samantha.
I like the idea that Sadie needs like a 30-second pump-up song to introduce.
She's wearing
her intro
little,
and
like,
her farewell.
The silk robes that boxers have on. And she's like doing
flagging
dance.
Sails. We were all talking at the same time.
That's
what did
exactly
you guys say?
How I picture her. Pumping herself up in the ring, punching the air.
Little shadow boxing.
Yeah.
You're going
drinking
for that belt.
A glass of raw
eggs.
I would like to thank our lovely, wonderful Patreons.
It would be a really cute glass of raw eggs.
I would like our lovely, wonderful Patreons. I need to speak it. Logan Mayonnaise, Andrew, Althea, Xenolon, Sharon, Justin, Evan, Liz, Brittany, Ace, Mara, Raimi the Void, Heartleaf, Ave with Teeth, Hadas, Ryan, Maddie, and Abby. We love you all so very much. Please come and move with us to a small town in Montana where we will create a queer commune. Thank you. That is my pitch.